Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name together. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever.
Wow. My name is April Farmer. And on Thursday, November 22nd, 2018, it was Thanksgiving Day. And I just returned home from a routine surgery that I had scheduled. My sons were in their early 20s, and I did right by them and taught them how to cook. So they came and they made dinner for myself and my husband, and we had a wonderful time. And I got some rest that night, and the next day, that Friday, I enjoyed my day eating Thanksgiving leftovers, as most of us do on that Friday. And about 7 p.m., I was pretty tired, so I decided to go to bed. And so I go upstairs, and I sit on my bed, and the moment my body hit the bed, my head blew up. I had the most excruciating headache I had ever had in my life. And all I could do was hold my head in my hands and breathe in and out. I reached out to my husband and I called him and I said, "You gotta call 911. And so he called 911 and it felt like it took them forever to get to our house. But eventually they arrived and they did what they normally do and they ran their tests and they checked my blood pressure and my blood pressure was through the roof. It was sky high. And so they immediately packed me up on the gurney to load me into the ambulance. And, you know, I have this thing, I don't know, maybe some of the ladies in the room, I go to bed with like a cap on because, you know, you might look some type of way. And just in case somebody stops by the house, you can't look some type of way. And so I have a cap and I name my cap Punjab. And my husband knows Punjab well. And so when I realized they put me on this gurney and I'm on my way out, I was in so much pain. But I opened one eye and I looked at my husband and I said, and he said, and Punjab made its way with me to the hospital. Now, mind you, this was really the worst pain I had ever experienced. And it seemed as the trip went on, my pain increased more and more, and all I could do was breathe. And I thought to myself, if I can breathe, then that means I'm alive. April, stay alive. Stay alive. And so we finally arrived at the hospital. And once I knew we were there, I felt like I remember having this thought, and I was like, okay, God, you've got it. And it went black. I didn't know what was happening to me. I had no idea what was occurring, but I did know that I had absolutely no control over what was happening. It was completely out of my hands. But with peace, truly, in all peace, I released it and I just went to sleep. When I finally woke up, I didn't recognize anyone. I didn't recognize my husband, David. I didn't recognize my kids. I didn't know where I was. I was totally confused. I was in and out of consciousness for days. And they ended up transferring me from the hospital that I was at into another hospital specialty unit. And my first memory was realizing that I was in critical condition and that it was really really, really bad. I was afraid and I was very confused in my brain. After days and days of testing and scans, the diagnosis finally came. I was told that I had had a hemorrhagic stroke, which is when one or more of your blood vessels inside of your brain bleeds. So it's not a rupture, but it's a bleeding in your brain. And it causes damage to the brain tissue. And I had a bleed in two places, one here and one here. And as a result of these bleeds, I began to have seizures in the hospital. Now, the extent to which my brain would be impacted was completely unknown. I was 41 years old. I was an empty nester. My kids were gone out of the house. I was newly married. I'd been married for 6 months to my husband. I just recently finished my master's degree, and I was in this new, wonderful season of life with no kids. My work life was thriving. Y'all, I know. Just wait if you haven't gotten there. Just wait. My work life was thriving, and even in ministry, I was in a new season. I'd been leading worship for years, but I had started to walk in this calling that I felt that I had to preach and to teach, and I was gaining some confidence in that gift. And I was leading worship, and it felt like I was in the best season of my life. Everything was going right until it wasn't. I was confused. I was sad. I was afraid. And I was in the hospital for weeks. Friends and family from all over were praying for me and interceding for me. And that hospital room was like Fort Knox. My husband would not let you in unless you were praying and you knew me well. He kept me very protected. But after a while, finally, I began to recognize people. But there were clear challenges with my brain. I couldn't read. I couldn't recall what things were. They would show me pictures of a leaf or a feather or a chair, and I knew what it was inside of my brain, but I could not get the word from my brain to my mouth to say it, and it was so frustrating. It was hard to answer questions. We didn't even know if I would ever sing again, or at least sing well. We were in the depths of the unknown. But Mr. Farmer, my husband, started to play a song in my hospital room, and he played it over and over and over again. It had been released earlier that year, and both of us completely fell in love with this song. And as he played it, something began to happen as he continued to play this song over and over. And I want you to take a look. That video's never been easy for me to watch. But the beautiful part of that video is not that I could sing, because I absolutely did not sound good at all. The beautiful part about that video was that I recalled the words. I recalled the words, and as I made my feeble attempt to sing those words, they began to come to life for me. And David and I, we worshiped. We worshiped together in the bed, in the hospital room. And if you don't know what worship is simply an expression of reverence and adoration to God. My brain had forgotten a lot of things, but I remembered to worship. And as we worshiped, my brain connected to the lyrics, and I remembered. I remembered that these weren't just the latest lyrics to the latest song by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. These words were directly from the scriptures. These words were, in fact, a song written about 3,084 years ago by a man who was running for his life, a man who had a bounty on his head, but also a man deeply committed to and in love with his God. David, you may have heard of him. He's the son of Jesse, but before he was ever the king of Israel, David was a poet, and David was a songwriter. And this song is recorded in the book of songs we find in our scriptures, in Psalms chapter 34. And so for the next few minutes, I want to invite you to connect with the lyrics that David wrote as he ran for his life. And the lyrics that I clung to as I fought for mine. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. He says, I will. That is a declarative statement, a decision that is resolute. David starts his song with a declaration. He says, before I say anything else, before I do anything else, before I think about or talk about anything else, this is what I will do. What will he do? He says, I will extol the Lord. To extol means to bless, to praise the Lord. David declares that I will bless, I will praise the Lord. And says, I will speak well of him. I will speak well and give glory and honor to the God of my salvation. And when does he say he will do this? At all times. At all times. David, anointed future king of Israel, was running for his life. From the current king, from King Saul. But he begins this song in the midst of his turmoil by declaring that I have made a firm decision to offer praise and blessing to the Lord, the maker and sustainer of heaven and earth in every season of my life. No matter what is going on, not just when I sit on the throne, not just when all is well. And for you and I, it's not just when business is good or business is booming. It's not just when your marriage is thriving. It's not just when parenting is easy. It's not just when you're healthy and strong or life is in the best place that you've ever been. But when you're afraid, when you're depressed, when you're confused, when your marriage is struggling, when your heart has been broken, when you've prayed time and time again and it feels like God isn't moving, when you're sick in your body and they can't figure out what's happening or the diagnosis is grim, when you're broken-hearted or broke with nothing in your pockets, when parenting is difficult and your family seems to be falling apart. This is a bold and powerful and brave declaration. It takes courage and faith to make a statement like that. But when you know who God is, when you remember who God is, when you remember that, in fact, he is bigger than you thought he was, when you remember that God is love, when you remember that every battle belongs to God, we too can make that same declaration, not only to others, but to our hearts and to our minds and to our souls. I will extol the Lord at all times. And he reiterates it by saying, his praise will always be on my lips. Always. Now, there's something special that David says here that I don't want us to miss. He says that this praise that I give the Lord is not an internal to myself in my heart and in my head kind of praise. This praise is a lips praise. This praise is a my words praise. He says, I will use my voice to give praise and blessing to God at all times. It's an audible praise. And I love that. That's probably why when I'm sitting in church, I'm probably one of the loudest. Because I don't mind lifting my voice and singing out loud because I remember what God has done for me. And I know oftentimes we come to church and maybe somebody next to us, they're singing too loud and they might not even sound good, but you have no idea what they remember. You have no idea how good God has been to them. This praise is a words praise. It's a lips praise. It's a words praise. And then he builds upon this declaration. And in verse 2, he says this. He says, I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. That phrase, I will glory, I looked it up, and in Hebrew, it means that which is within me that gives me life. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, will celebrate in the Lord. Then he says that let the afflicted hear and rejoice. This reinforces that this is an audible praise. The afflicted, those that are suffering, the heartbroken, the depressed in mind and in circumstance, let them hear and rejoice in this audible praise to God. Let them hear me telling of God's goodness. Let them hear me telling of God's faithfulness, of his compassion. Let them hear me telling about his grace and his mercy that endures every morning. Let them hear me talk about how wonderful God is, and in that find hope and encouragement and strength. And when they hear that, they too will begin to rejoice. Sometimes you're standing in worship as we sing together on Sunday mornings, and you might notice somebody next to you, they're starting to cry. It's because they're remembering, and their hearts are being encouraged by the words being lifted about the glory of God. And then David goes on, and he does this amazing thing. He extends an invitation to all who are hearing this song. He says in verse 3, he says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. He says, come on, everybody. Let's do this together. He invites everyone to make big, to magnify, to glorify, to elevate God in the universe. Make him famous. Lift him high above our circumstances, above our pain, above our conflict, above our disappointment, above our fears and our sicknesses. Lift him higher above that. And we get to do this together every single solitary week. It's wonderful. We get to remind ourselves and everyone around us as we sing songs of praise to God that he is the God who was and who is to come. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He is our faith. He is our righteousness. He is the one that gives life. He is the light of the world to the darkness in our space. He is the giver of hope. He restores broken hearts. He is great and deserving of our praise. And then as we do that, our praise becomes contagious. You lift a hand and your neighbor lifts a hand and somebody behind you starts singing a little louder. It becomes contagious and everyone is encouraged in their hearts together, especially when times are difficult. Especially then. And David knows this all too well. While running for his life, he penned these words. And in the next four sentences, he gives what I call an explanation and affirmations. He explains his situation, he explains what's happening, and then he affirms the character of God based on the experience. So let's look at verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord. And what did he do? He answered me. How? He delivered me from all of my fears. He didn't necessarily change the situation, but he did deliver me from my fear of it. He says, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Oh, I love that. He says this, he starts to talk in third person here. I noticed that. He says, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. David humbly shares his brokenness and then proclaims how God showed up. I love that. This is why he can be so bold as to write the next line of this song. Oh my goodness. David started this song by declaring that he will bless the Lord at all times. Then he invites everyone to join him in blessing the creator of the universe. He goes on to give his explanations as to why God is worthy of this praise. And now he extends another bold invitation. Are you guys ready? David says this, just in case you don't believe me. Just in case you don't want to take my word for it. This is what he says. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. David said, don't take my word for it. Try him for yourself. Try him for yourself. It's like the first time I saw guacamole. This big, green, ugly-looking blob. And I'm like, why would you want me to put that on anything? And I had sworn off guacamole, never even tried to taste it. It just was not attractive at all. And then what's that red stuff? What is that? No, I'm not trying it. And so then I go to a cooking class one day, and she announces what we'll be making. And the first thing is guacamole. And I was like, oh, I done wasted my money. I don't want guacamole. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I don't like guacamole. She said, have you ever had it? I said, no. She said, well, just wait. And she showed me how to put it together. And I watched the ingredients going in. And I became more and more curious because all the individual ingredients look quite tasty to me. I've had onion before. And I've had tomato before. And I know what cilantro tastes like. And I like lemon juice. But when we put it all together and I threw in a little cumin, and she said, here, now taste this. And y'all, I am a guacamole fan. Why? Because I tried it for myself. I tried it for myself, and I know that it's good. And I can speak confidently to anyone. Now, if you don't like guacamole, just skip this part. But I can speak confidently that this tastes good. You might not want that store-bought kind. You might not want that fake kind. But when you get the authentic, homemade guacamole, there's something different about how that tastes. And David is saying the same thing. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Try God for yourself. Why? Because he's good. He can't help but be good. Y'all, God is good. If I had the rights to a dictionary and I looked up the word good, I would put God next to it. Because God is good. It should say good. God is always good. He can't help it. He's good when I'm sick. He's good when I'm happy. He's good when I'm sad. He's good when I've lost somebody that I love deeply. He's good when my life is falling apart. He is good at all times. He's good in every high and in every low. God is always good. Even when I'm confused and I don't understand, God can't help but be good. So for everyone in the room today, if you are a believer, for those of us who have already partaken of the divine nature and goodness of God today, I want to invite you to remember that God is good. No matter what you're sitting in right now, no matter what life looks like right now, remember that God is good. There's a song I used to sing growing up. It says, as I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony of the goodness of God. I know who He is. I've tasted and seen. So today, if you've already accepted Christ, remember His goodness. No matter what seat you sit in today, remember that He is always good. And for those in the room who are not believers, you haven't quite made the decision to allow Christ into your life, I have an invitation for you today too. Taste and see that God is good. Just give Him a try. Take a leap of faith based on the testimony of David from over 3,000 years ago, which encouraged me in 2018 as I fought for my life, not knowing what could happen, not knowing if I would even be standing here today. But y'all, guess what? I am. I'm here today. I'm standing here healed. Healed. Do I take meds every day? Absolutely. If I don't, I might have a seizure. But you know what? I will take that med every day. And for every day that God gives me breath in my body, I will use it and proclaim that God is good, that He's faithful, that He's kind, that He's loving, that He's gracious, that He's a redeemer, that He is a savior. So if I get a little excited when I preach or I get a little excited when I sing, now y'all know why. I've tasted and seen that He's good. And for every day that He gives each and every one of us breath, He's proving His goodness. God is always good. And so if you don't know Him today, would you just try Him out? He loves you so much that the Bible tells us that while we were still dead in our sins, Christ died for us. He paid the penalty for the sin that separated us from the creator of the universe, that one that gives us breath every single solitary day. Our sin separated us from Him. But Jesus took on our sin. He became flesh and He took on our sin and He bore the penalty for it. He died and He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, and He rose with all authority to give us life, with all authority to give us the access to the tree of life through Jesus Christ. And all He's asking you to do today is say, you know what? I want to taste that. And I promise you, you'll realize He's good. So I'm going to invite the team out, and we're going to sing that song. We're going to sing together the song that David wrote so many years ago. And we can all accept David's invitation to magnify the Lord together. And so I'm going to pray. And as we sing this song, you may not have ever heard it before, but it's an old song. I don't know if this was the melody that David came up with, but the words will be on the screen. And I want to invite you to connect, to let these lyrics come alive in your heart, because God is good. Can I pray for us? Father, it is our great delight to acknowledge that You are God and beside you there is no other. We bless you and honor you for the things that you've done, things that we know that you've done, and things that we don't even realize you are doing. You've been faithful so many years. And just as you were faithful to David 3,000 plus years ago, your goodness hasn't changed. And there are so many stories and songs in this room today about how good you are. Many people that have tasted and seen how good you are. And so, God, we don't want to take for granted the opportunity that we get to use our lips and give you an audible praise, a praise that not just edifies us, but it encourages those that are around us that aren't quite so sure. So, Father, as we lift this song of praise to you, I pray that you help our minds remember, that you help us accept this invitation to draw closer to you, to allow you into every area of our life, good, bad, or ugly, and that we would trust your faithfulness from down through the years and allow this to be our story and our song. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.